They say a picture is worth a thousand years. We want to use that principle this morning. We've been talking about elders for a little while, and we last week dealt with elders' wives. So based on all the things that we've discussed thus far, we're still not quite to the end of this course of study, but based on what we've discussed thus far, I want to use those previous classes as a foundation to, for today's class, pretend that for the next 45 minutes we're all elders. You've just gotten promoted. You are an elder. And as an elder, we are going to have our elders' meeting today and look at issues which have come up in our local congregation. We've got 13 items. We'll see if we get through all these today. And as an elder, I'm going to be the presenter. This problem has been brought to me. I'm, like you, one of the elders for today. And I'm going to lay that out, so if you have some questions about what's going on. But I'm not going to try to offer very much, or I'll be the last contributor, as far as offering some comments on how we might address situations. So here we are. We've come together for our, let's say, weekly elders meeting, and here's item number one. So as we think about these as a group, we want to encourage a lot of discussion, and we also want to, because we're looking at these items from the standpoint of an elder in the church, we also want to tie in the Bible and think about various passages, Bible principles, to help us through things. Two Christians are engaged, and they have made it known to me, and I'm communicating to the elders, that they plan to marry within 6 months. Finances for the couple are difficult, especially for the young lady. So she says, I want you to discuss with the elders this situation. I need to move in with my fiancé so we can make sure the bills get paid for the next 6 months. And he's going to sleep on the couch. Are you elders okay with that? Now the items, the 13 items here, these are not things that I've just pulled out of the sky. I mean, these are real issues that have come up in congregations. My sources for them have come from various places. And I want to go through these so when you look at elders from this day forward, you realize just how difficult the job can be. I mean, this is not easy stuff. So I think there are some answers to what we're looking at here. But I want you to develop an appreciation for elders so that throughout your Christian life, wherever you are, when you find an elder, hopefully you'll think back to this class and remember, this is what this fella is doing. This is what these men are doing. And it's not just, well, we have come up with a budget and we're going to hire a youth minister and that kind of stuff. They may do those things, but there's a lot more involved. So, Bonnie?
1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil.
All right, that might be one of the first passages that comes up at the elders' meeting. That even if the guy is sleeping on the couch, they're not involved in a physical relationship, it doesn't look good.
The neighbors and people don't know what's going on.
Exactly. And, you're trying to teach the guy down the street, or this comes up at work, and, well, hey, where are you staying? Oh, I moved in with my fiancé, but we're not sleeping together. Well, most people in today's world would just raise an eyebrow about that and say, sure, you're not only a hypocrite, you're a liar too. So what do? Okay, I've got a couple answers. We'll start at the back. Kitty, we'll begin with you. Say it again. All right. Let's say for the sake of argument, I mean, that would be one of the things that the elders could suggest. As they talk to the couple, they might say, why not move up the marriage? You may not have it as fancy as what you intend to have 6 months from now, but we could, we could marry tomorrow, marry today, for those kinds of things. So that would be one option that could be laid out. Very good. Somebody before or between her and Ray? Okay, Ray, we'll move up to you.
What else have they done financially that could help that situation? Have they talked to others? Maybe she could move into somebody else.
All right. That's something that I had hoped a person would bring up. It may be one of the elders. The kids are gone, empty nesters. You can come live with us for a little while. Or we have a place where, we can come up with a rental situation. We know a member that has a spare room and they have renters and we can come up as a discounted matter with you. So you have here a case where the young lady assumes that this is the only option. Just like kids, they come to parents sometimes and they assume this has got to be done. But wait a minute, let's step back. Look at the circumstances, and there may be some other things. So maybe we can move up the marriage. Maybe we can have them move in with somebody else. Judy?
Have them sit down in a long conversation with them.
All right. Sometimes that needs to be done. Maybe a young couple, and they're not spiritually mature, and they just haven't thought it through very well from a biblical standpoint. And it may be that you just have to have that come to Jesus meeting with them and say, look, This is not something that we're going to stand for, and that may come after you've exhausted all the other options. But that, too, may need to be part of the process.
Well, I think to follow along with that, first of all, you've got to determine whether this is really the case. This may be justification for doing something they want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another whole ballgame.
Yeah. So there's some investigation. This is one of the areas where some elders have not done well. They've gotten some information. They've acted. They've acted swiftly, just like most of us have. We have acted maybe before we had all the facts. After some of the details are in, it puts a completely different light on things. So check out the circumstances. In this case, you're probably going to find some more bad circumstances than good, but still, at least investigate the matter. What else? Anything else? Well, let's take it to the next step. You've done these things, which are all great ideas, biblical ideas, and they say, we're going to do this anyway. This is a question I think you could ask for just about all the items on today's list. The girl says, we're still going to move in. We don't want to move up the date like Kitty suggested. We don't want to look for another place. I want to stay with him. Maybe that's close to my work. And the come to Jesus meeting doesn't work. We're going to move in with him, me and my kids. What do you as the elder now do, or the elders? Sherman?
Well, I think you should let them know you don't support the decision. Because if you do tell them that it's okay, then you're more or less giving them the okay to go ahead and do it.
Okay. That would at least be the starting point. You have to make it clear to them, maybe even congregationally, that this is not something we support. Ray had given me some information to look at, and part of that information is reflected in today's material. Where does an elder's authority or the eldership's authority stop? You know, how far does it go? There's some things that elders, biblically, I think, don't have the right to be involved with, but that fine line sometimes is difficult to know exactly where it starts and stops. But making it clear that that's not something that's approved of, what else might be done?
Well, yeah. There's bits and pieces that plug in a lot of places here, but once they have made that determination, and yes, you need to let them know that don't approve, that's not the way that we should be doing things, but then they also have to know you're having an influence on our congregation, and we can't allow that. But somewhere in there, if the elders can't do anything, then obviously one of the things to think of is, well, we're not having any influence here. Who can have? And check that out. Okay, maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's someone else in the church that they respect for whatever reason. But try to get key individuals involved there. But if that doesn't do any good, there comes a point at which you say, okay, you're at a point here where you're having a negative influence, you're not listening to us, then we've got to do something more drastic, I guess you would say.
Okay. The principle from Matthew chapter 18, remember, if something doesn't get worked out one-on-one, what do? The pressure gets stepped up a bit, doesn't it? That's exactly what Stan was describing. We're going to see if we can influence you through family, friends, church members, and encourage you to rethink the decision. Now, might withdrawal of fellowship be an option? I would put that on the table, but once again, rather than just jumping from A to Z, there may be some things in between there, a couple of items which have been mentioned. What if the elders too, this is going to vary on how involved the couple is in the congregation, but what if the elders went and said, look, this is an influence problem, and as Sherman said, we're not going to let this just idly sit by. But you're teaching a Bible class. At least until this matter is resolved, we don't want to do this. But because we're shepherds of the flock, we're going to ask you to step down as a Bible class teacher, effective immediately, because you've made your choice to the man. Maybe he's serving, maybe he's leading prayers, maybe he's the song leader. Do you think it would be appropriate for the elders to do the same thing with him? Yes. So you're applying pressure. People ultimately have free will, and they're going to do what they want to do. Now, we're going to go on to the second point in just a second, but I want you to consider what we just went through and tie it into these biblical points. Did one person have all the answers? No. I think that demonstrates the wisdom of God putting elders, plural, in the church. If you have two, the old statement, two heads are better than one, is certainly true. If you have three, now you have too many cooks in the kitchen, okay? If you've got 50 elders weighing in on something, that may be, you know, way too many for most things. But here you have multiple people coming from multiple backgrounds. You also have ideas being tossed out. Some of them are good, some of them are not good, some of them are maybe workable if you alter them a little bit. And two, you've got some ideas being tossed out by some people who have been around for a little while. You know, we're not dealing with 12-year-olds trying to solve this issue. So when you think about the process that we just went through and you compare them, compare the ideas with the qualities that you have listed for elders, I think you can see a pretty good connection. That God is not so much a checklist of qualities, but God is saying you want people who have these characteristics. You want people who are described in this kind of way. So when these kinds of situations come up, it may not always be a perfect answer. But you do have one of the best ways to deal with this if you'll follow the procedures that are connected with elders in the Bible. And generally it's going to work out reasonably well. Now, the other point that I would add here is that suppose the elders are working on that. They're gradually trying to exert pressure. And anybody want to volunteer? Just to use you as an illustration.
Sure.
Okay, Betty. Betty hears about that. And she starts running around gossiping. Didn't know what she was going to volunteer for. Hey, you know, these two people are living together and the elders aren't doing anything about it. Man, do we ever have terrible elders? You think that might happen in the local congregation?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Are the elders doing something about it? Yes. And they're trying to bring those things together, step things up, and you have that nasty judgment made about the elders. You have that information being communicated to others by Betty, which she wouldn't do. But they've got their hands full over here, but they've also now got a new mess over here. So when you're in a congregation that is being served by elders, tread carefully. Because as we've said, in principle, they're often dealing with things. There's knowledge that they have that others do not have, and they may be working on something, and you're actually undercutting them by your lack of knowledge. So be careful with that. All right, anything else you want to look at before we deal with the second one? Ray?
Your example here with Betty, now if she's over talking to somebody else, that's certainly not according to Matthew. Though she went and talked to him,
right,
she should have brought that to the elders first.
Yes.
And then or the other party should be coming to the elders before they spread any more of it.
Yes.
So it can get way out of hand.
Like a wildfire. And she could have gone to the elders and said, I'm aware of this, this concerns me, and the elders could have said, we're working on it, and just left it at that. And then hopefully Betty would have had the spiritual maturity to say, okay, I just want to make sure that you knew, and she's put out a bunch of potential fires. And if somebody else starts, let's say that Marcia's nodding her head, so I'm going to use her. Marcia starts. You know, Betty hears that, she can say, you need to go see the elders. I became aware of this. I talked to the elders. I'm not going to tell you what the elders said, but you need to go see them. And maybe follow up in a week or two and say, did you talk to the elders yet? This is something you really need to do.
On the other end of that, and that's going to be true of every one of these, I'm sure, and I haven't even looked at all of them. An elder does not want to say to himself, or maybe if there's two or three of them, say to the others, I know how to deal with this. Let me take it. Maybe that individual does, but if then he runs into trouble on his own, may feel like to save face, he still has to do something and really does something that makes the situation end up sad. I say all that to say, elders should not be afraid, nor should they feel like they're not doing their job properly, to avoid talking to someone who maybe has been through that situation. Perhaps another elder, perhaps someone who is a family psychologist, somebody who knows how to deal with those things, get information from the other direction, in other words.
Yeah. I know there are elders in our area from other congregations, when you kind of look at what we have, who have sought out a conversation, if you will, with some other, members in the area looking for some outside input. So yes, that can be good. Ultimately, you've got to make a decision, but again, you want to make that decision based on the best information that you can find and have. Okay, item number two, Christian coupled. I'm sorry, Betty. You could, but I was looking at that more from, nothing wrong with that, but I was looking at that more from the standpoint that you have not only checked it, but you have encouraged her to go and deal with this matter in this way, and hopefully that's going to be a lesson for next time as well. Both are probably going to work, or hopefully both will work, but you gain the extra by having her personally go to the elders. She hopefully becomes a little more comfortable with that. Okay, item number two. If you don't have a sheet, there's still some at the back. Christian couple does not approve of their boy, of the boy their daughter is dating. They ask the elders to intervene. What do you do? 16, 17-year-old kids are dating. Mom and dad, they're Christians. Daughter is a Christian. She's dating a non-Christian. Mom and dad don't like him. What do the elders do? Elder, I need help. All right, there again, we're back to the, let's go back and get the facts, right? Remember, dragnet, just the facts. Well, we probably need a little bit more than that when we're dealing with elders, but we want the facts. We want to investigate the matter. The government gives us a model there. There's a crash. They don't just typically run right out and, well, it was terrorism or it was mechanical failure. Let's go and get the guys out there. Let's take it apart. Let's look at the wreckage. Let's get the facts. So, investigation. What else?
Tell the parents to go get one of the tracts out there and have them give it to their daughter to read.
Okay, that might be an option. Anything else?
I think elders need to talk to both the boy and the girl also.
Okay.
And see what their intentions are, see what, investigate both of them and see what their lifestyle. If you talk to the parents, you will understand a little bit why they may be objecting to the boy, or could be the other way around, objecting to the girl. But find out from that, and then talk to the, both the kids.
Okay.
It was half serious, half joking when I said that, but you didn't say whether or not the boy is a Christian. I think
he's not,
or a member of the church. It doesn't say that.
Well.
I'm
for our illustration, it could go either way, but I'm assuming he's not.
But yeah, I think that would have something to do with like Ray's approach to it. It might be very difficult to do that with someone that doesn't come to church. Yeah, I see it maybe driving a wedge and drawing the couple closer together. It happens a lot when you try to get them not to do what you want them to do. Sometimes it takes time, and the girl will actually probably learn on their own if you don't try to get too overbearing.
Yeah, you need to be careful in some circumstances, and this is one. Otherwise, you can have exactly what you described, and it's happened thousands and thousands of times where you try to drive two people apart, and your actions drive them together. Now, they may not stay together for life, but at least temporarily, maybe long enough to get married for a year or two, 6 months, that's what happens.
Situation that they're coming to the eldership for that. I find that very interesting that, you know, they're using the eldership to take care of something, which is fine. You know, that's what the elders are there to listen and to help. But I think I would really be curious as to why they feel they've lost such control and why they felt necessary to bring in a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here again, you have what I mentioned earlier as far as elders dealing with family situations You know, they can help, especially when they're asked, but there are some fine lines where at what point do you cross the line? And you always want to be mindful of that. The other item, and this is kind of a different dimension, but it would apply, I believe, to all the circumstances, you want to be careful as far as how you exert pressure. So if you have to use some caution or you can get the facts, you need to be careful about the pressure that you're using. What other dimension here, what other tool do we have that we've not yet mentioned? What starts with P, ends with Y? Prayer. Do you think that as elders of the congregation, you could talk to those parents and say, this is a matter which certainly would be worthy of great prayer, and we would like to maybe not give all the specific details, but we would like to go ahead and ask the congregation to pray about this matter? You know, we know you're praying about it, and we'll be glad to pray about it, but we've got 50 other people, and they may not all be committed to that. Yes. And sometimes that's going to be the most effective way to deal with a hardship. And this might be one of the things that looks here. All right, here's another situation. And I was personally involved with some of these, and it so happens with this one. And I'll just add a little bit more. I was called over to a house. What is being described was the situation. And the Christian got physically violent with the young man. Now, he didn't knock him cold or anything, but, you know, out there pushing him and on the verge of a smackdown. Now it's not, elder, I have a problem. It's now, elder, you're in the midst of the problem. Or preacher, or Christian, or the wife. What do you do?
You still need to take that individual, the husband, or father, whatever, aside, and at least get them cooled down.
Yeah, before you can start investigating the facts, you've got to make sure nobody heads off to jail or the hospital. So, well, you know, really, I mean, let's, you know, what do the cops do? You come up on two people that are fighting?
They're separated.
That's going to be the first step in quieting things down. So you go to this room, you go to this room, and you just sit there until somebody comes for you. Don't tear the place apart.
It's okay to be angry, but what you're pointing out here is it becomes physical. Need to do what you said. You know, be understanding, you know. It's okay to be angry. You know, we're told that we can be angry, but don't go beyond being angry.
Okay. So we investigate the facts, pray, and now this third item is once again a new dimension to dealing with situations. Do we sometimes just need to try to calm people down? How Jesus described it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 9. Be a
peacemaker.
Well, that's Bible, and that's what elders sometimes need to do. That's what all Christians need to do. We're going to find some people who are stirred up. You find that in the workplace. You find that in the home. Child comes in, maybe a smaller child, temper tantrum, those kinds of things. So elders are going to experience all these items. Anything that you want to add or ask before we deal with point three? All right, let's take a look at the third one. A husband claims to be a Christian, or a husband who claims to be a Christian is failing to provide food or medical care for his wife. Now, this again is another one that I've been personally involved with. The wife believes she must accept her situation because that's submission to her husband. Here, and I was not an elder at the time, but should you as an individual Christian report this to anybody? What would you do if you're an individual Christian? Husband's not caring for his wife to the point where she lacks medical care, lacks food, or maybe there's some physical abuse. What do you do?
Should you talk to the brother first or the Christian?
He says, well, you know, she just exaggerates.
I think you need to take it to the elders at that point.
Well, here's a difficulty that we've not yet looked at. Might there be a circumstance where you have to involve local authorities?
Yes.
Yeah. Here again, you're trying to make a judgment call, but I do think that Betty's point is probably good. Maybe start with the elders unless it looks like it's life-threatening and see what they can do. And that was done in this set of circumstances. You know, Teresa and I made contact with the elders and said, it's our understanding that, you know, this fella who is a newly married guy is not taking care of his wife as far as providing food and medical care. And, you know, we're going to kind of leave this in your ballpark. We hate to just dump this on you, but we don't think at this point it deserves police attention. I mean, it may, but once again, trying to get the facts and see what's going on, and maybe it's the come to Jesus meeting that you need for that.
If actual
Yeah, that's true. For abused wives, they, for whatever reason, the battered wife syndrome just seem prone to many times staying in that set of circumstances. So it does get difficult sometimes for individual Christians and for elders. When they're called and they're told about something, it also can be very, very difficult for them. So usually good to err on the side of caution, but there are some very, very hard calls. Sherman?
What about the second part, where the wife feels that she needs to be submissive?
All right. Well, the police aren't going to take that view. But what about the elders?
When there's abuse going on, whether it's physical abuse or, in this case here, not taking care of medically or food, there may be a time that the elders have to be involved with notifying the local authorities, mm-hmm. too. That may be the best way to solve this, and they put a more of a fear into the husband here that what he's doing is really wrong.
You have connected with that the point that Sherman made earlier, going back to the first item. Wife or potential future wife, fiancé wants to move in. You know, you create something like a precedent for that. There's the impression given that we're just fine with that. The same thing here, too. If that becomes information that is known and that's provable, then for a lot of reasons, one of which would be you give the impression as an eldership, that's just fine. That's your definition of what the Bible talks about when submission is being described, and you have some additional issues at that point. Let's go back to Sherman's point specifically, though, for just a second. Husband says, well, my wife is, you know, Ephesians 5. Bible uses the word submission there, and this is submission.
Submission is not you obey everything I say, especially if it's going against God's law.
Okay. So here we have another aspect of an elder's work. We've talked about prayer and investigating the facts. Will elders at times find cases where people simply misunderstand or they misapply some part of the Bible? Yes. Well, let's go back and think about what we find when it comes to the qualifications for an elder. Not a novice. Well, what's that mean? Well, okay. And somebody that also has, when you look at the experience, some degree of Bible knowledge. You know, when you... I believe it's in Titus he talks about being able to refute the gainsayer. There are going to be some people who have some faulty ideas about the Bible, and the elder needs to have some ability to refute that. Well, in what we're talking about here, it's not so much a false teacher, but it is someone who has taken that word, submission, and applied it in some very bad ways. So that elder should have the ability to, or the elders, should have the ability to go in and say, let's look at that word, let's see what's being described. Here's what you're doing. Here's what the Bible describes. They don't match. And this is a problem. Is there something about that that we've not made clear or something about that that you know, you don't see that we're aware of? And then take things from there. So investigation, prayer, sometimes Bible study. Each of these situations has kind of a different aspect or different element to it. Anything else before we look at number four? Jenny?
I don't know. I think this is kind of weird.
Yeah, he gets food. Why,
I mean, if he gets it, why doesn't she just go out then and get a job? I mean, what are the circumstances here? Because what kind of a Christian husband would withhold those things from his wife? And why doesn't she just go out then? And what are the circumstances financially that they can't afford the food and the medical care? I think it's kind of a weird question.
Well,
I have a hard time envisioning the situation.
Okay.
Are we talking about an elderly couple?
Okay. Young couple, 20 years old roughly. And these are the literal facts. I'm not just making this stuff up. They were in the military, and they were relatively close to the base. The husband had transportation. It wasn't the most reliable transportation. So the wife, you know, maybe the car is going to work, maybe not. He could walk to work. She was a very introverted lady. So for her, reaching out, talking to people, she didn't have too many friends, and she just spent all day cooped up in the apartment. And her husband said, well, this is your role in life. This is your lot. This is what it means to be submissive. So whatever happens to occur in your life, you know, that's just, you know, your will. Or that's just God's will for your life. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm fed every day. I mean, he's going to the military base. He's got access to food there. And, man, you know, maybe doesn't always bring groceries home. And if he's got the car, you know, he's controlling the money. And if you're not feeling well, he makes a decision as far as whether or not you should get medical care or you need medicine. It wouldn't be quite akin to some of the sex slaves that we've seen. You know, girls, women have been taken and then put down in some guy's basement and chained up, you know, for a sexual partner. And he decides, you know, if that slave needs to go to the hospital or when she's going to be fed or, you know, when she's going to get to watch TV, those kinds of things. So it wasn't controlling to that degree, but she was pretty much just homebound. And going back to the battered wife syndrome, you were asking, why would you stay in that condition? After a while, the mind just becomes conditioned where people think that that is a normal thing. Teresa and I, it would be like, apartment complexes today. You may have a larger complex where you have building A, building B, and building C. They would have lived in building A. We're living in building B. We had some contact with them on a semi-regular basis. We worshiped at the same congregation, not connected so much because of military jobs, but after a while, we began to put some pieces together and thought, okay, this is not a good deal, and she really needs some help. And two, when people are in that kind of circumstance, they're worn down little by little, you can see signs of ill health, poor nutrition. So that's kind of a brief summary of what we're looking at. So we didn't feel like we could go to the police, but we did feel like it was right to at least start with the elders. Yeah, well, and that obviously is part of the equation as well.
You consider yourself a Christian, how do you treat anyone like that?
Yeah. And then he wanted to become a preacher to boot. So anyway, it was just unusual.
There are more Christian men that do that than you realize.
Yeah, nobody is, there's not going to be any organization or anything else that's going to guarantee a person is free of abuse. But you would hope that if people, embrace the principles of Christianity, they're going to follow them. Or at least try to the best of their ability. Bonnie?
These type of men look for women, like you're explaining she is, so they can keep their thumb on them.
Yeah.
This is the way it works.
Yeah. There are. You do have that. I mean, when you are looking to find someone to abuse, you want the weakest. You don't want to attack the strongest. I mean, they're not going to be good prey for you. Okay, let's look at our next item. This is item number 4. Somewhat similar, a wife feels mistreated by her husband. Again, this was one that I've encountered. She takes thousands of dollars from the family bank account. She buys a vehicle with part of the cash. She travels halfway across the country. And then she grabs a disposable cell phone, tells her husband she has no plans to return. She does give her husband an emergency number. She doesn't always answer it. And the husband takes that cell number and calls up the elders for today's class and says, look, my wife has done these things. She's left, and he was of the sort that we were just talking about with Bonnie and with Jenny, and he says, you elders need to tell her to come back. The Bible says a wife needs to be submissive to her husband. She's left, and I'm not so concerned about the money she took or the car that she took, but she's away from me. She needs to come back. Here's the number to her. You elders call and say that you tell her to come back home. What do you, as an eldership, do? She said, hand him back the phone.
I mean, you're talking about something that's been going on for more than just a couple of days. Hopefully the elders, if they know their flock, have known that there's at least something not quite right. They may not know the entire breadth of it because everybody can wear a mask and so can a family. But I find it odd that all of a sudden the elders are being contacted. Would they have not known any of this was a possibility?
There was a hint that this was a little unusual as far as the family, but there was no indication that they were dealing with anything like this. So once again, it is this giant leap where you kind of, to wow, I'm shocked.
And I was being facetious about handing back the phone.
Yeah, I know. So, but what do you do? I mean, this is now landing in your lap as an eldership, Stan.
Let me add a little bit of a twist here. Suppose this lady goes halfway across the country and she ends up at your congregation where you're the elder, and then the husband contacts you and says, okay, you got to send her back.
Okay, that's a good question. We have a similar question here with illegals. But what do you do?
Well, I think the main thing is, did he actually say because she needs to obey him?
Yes.
That might be it. So,
all right. I think that would be one of the things where he's local. He's right there. So you can sit down. Once again, we're back to that I word, right? What do? You investigate. Before we run off and start siding with this one or siding with that one, let's get the facts. Joe Friday, Dragnet. But so many times when a bad set of circumstances comes up, it's possible to take the information that we have and run with it, use it, and that may be just a natural temptation, maybe more tempting for some personalities than others. But we can do that very easily in life. But try to back up, and maybe that's one more reason God has put multiple elders in there. Somebody starts running ahead with some conclusions. Grab him, rein him in, and say, do we know all the facts? No, we don't. So maybe we better make some phone calls. All right, so we sit down with him. What else might we do? Jen? Elders have the hands full. I'll tell you one of the things that I have experienced and one of the things that several others have experienced. If you have a case of unfaithfulness, and we'll just use, I think the best illustration of this would be the husband and the wife. The wife finds out that the husband is unfaithful. The husband says, I'm going to sleep in separate bedrooms or separate bedroom. How long does that last? How long do you think the wife wants it to last?
But it does happen.
Well, it does happen. How long do you think the wife wants to stay away? A little while or a good while? Usually a good while. Husband wants to sleep in that separate bed a little while or a long while? A little while. You know, I'm thinking of one case in particular. Husband said, oh, look, you know, you've caught me. I'm guilty. And we'll sleep apart until you're ready to have me come back. 2 weeks. Well, you've had enough time. Here I come. So there are some patterns which are predictable with people. And in the kinds of things that we're talking about, that's exactly what we see. Well, we can give her some time. A week goes by, you know, she's got to come back now. So when you talk about counseling, there are personalities and tendencies which pose some difficulties for elders and for others, because that almost predisposition of a person inclines them towards a certain course of behavior which is not always consistent with what's right or with what is biblical. And this is a classic situation. The wife just wanted to stay gone for a while. She'd had enough. The husband, you know, you've been gone for a few days. Let's call the elder or the preacher, whoever can influence her and have her come back. So what do we do? Given that additional piece of information, wives many times are more prone to say, let's have an extended separation. Husband, not so much. Sure?
Well, Mike just said what I was going to say a little bit ago. I think the problem is what you have here in quotes. If you marry a woman thinking the reason you want to marry him is so they obey him, well, dogs obey. You don't marry a woman because you want them to obey you. You want them to love you. You need to love a woman and, you know, treat them the way you want to be treated. I think you mentioned counseling. A lot of counseling has to be done with this man, I think. And then the conversation tells a woman that he apologizes, you know, I'm going to, you know, try to do right. It might take some time, but
I think you're on the right track. If you talk to a counselor or a therapist about a big issue, and I don't say this from personal experience, but I believe that at least in some cases you will find that they have goals. For example, weight loss. Anybody just go and shed 50 pounds, bang, just like that? How's weight loss work? I mean, it'd be nice if it worked that way, but how's it work? All right, it's incremental. For that first week, maybe you've got a goal of losing 2 pounds, and you achieve that. Then week number two, you may knock off only a pound, and then you have various stages, you have various steps. When you're dealing with these kinds of things, might you have some steps? You know, we're going to start out with some small things, and you just gradually begin to work through the issues. So when we talk about elders, another one of the things that we want to point out is that sometimes problems are not solved immediately or fully. Maybe they're never completely solved. But there are some issues that elders will need to work on with people, you know, step by step by step by step. Now, if you've got just these three or four issues going on in a congregation, you think these items, you're working full-time, you're married, maybe you've got a child or two left in the home and other church stuff, you think your hands are going to be kind of full? Absolutely. And then you see that they put pink petunias in the flower bowl outside. And man, you elders, you put the wrong color petunias in the flower bowl. Well, what do you think the guy's thinking? If you had any clue, yeah. If you had any idea what I'm dealing with right now, that would be the last thing on your mind. So Christians can sometimes be insensitive to the items that elders are dealing with, and it could be just one of these. But you'll find in many places that it's more than one. Okay.
Sometimes when a wife or a husband wants to seek a counselor, they don't go seek a Christian counselor.
That's right. I once dealt with a man who was struggling, a member of the church, who was struggling with homosexuality. He sought out a Christian counselor, and he said, okay, you know, same-sex attraction is a deal for me, Christian counselor in quotes. He said, oh, that's just fine. That's just the way God made you. Well, he knew enough to realize that that was not right. So not all counselors are equal, and when somebody hangs out the shingle, Christian counselor, that can mean a lot of things. So over the years, people who have wanted recommendations for a counselor, I've tried to suggest that, you know, you're not looking for them for spiritual, for biblical insight. You can get that here. You can get that through, you know, elders or Christians, whoever that might be. But there may be some secular things that they can discuss as far as trying to sort out some feelings or maybe go back and see how items have been connected and, you know, help you in those matters. But look at that through a biblical lens. But yes, great care needs to be used there. All right, point five. A husband says the Bible gives him the right to head his home, so he makes all the rules and even decides on, you know, matters that most people would look at as family matters. He says, all right, woman, kids, we're going to go on vacation here. And I know the wife wants the kids to go to school A, but my decision is school B. Contraception, you want a baby, I don't. Or you want this method of birth control, we're going to use this method. The wife comes to the elders and says, I am unhappy. This is what I have in my home life. What do you do? What do you do? You're the elder? We're the eldership today. What do we do? Well, we might do that. But before we do that, what have we been talking about? We get the facts. If we've had kids, we know there are two sides to every story, isn't there? Do you think that's true when you're dealing with adults? Yes. So this is what the wife says. Maybe she is absolutely right. Might there be some mitigating circumstances where, when it comes to right and wrong, the wife is 20% right and the husband is 80% right? You know, maybe she has a chemical imbalance and she's not able to think correctly. Ever deal with somebody who believes that a person is trying to kill them? Okay, a couple of heads are nodding. If you're dealing with someone who believes some things, that doesn't necessarily always mean that what the belief is right. You've had a lot of folks who think that, you know, I've talked to some. I can name two or three. That we had a lady here within probably the last year or so. She was claiming, well, in fact, it was VBS, I believe it was a year ago. Wasn't it, Stan? She talked with us. We took her outside, a little cooler out there. The police showed up, and they talked to her the cop that came talked to her for a long time. But she believed she had an ex-husband who had some hired hitmen, and she was just being chased across state lines. Well, that would have meant that the FBI needed to be involved. So, you know, that's a pretty serious charge, that you've got a husband who has killers on a staff to go out and kill her. Now, I don't think that was true. Apparently the cop didn't believe that that was true either. But, I mean, she just was, you know, she had a master's degree and actually brought out her thesis and let me flip through it. So, I mean, she wasn't completely impaired, I guess you might say. He had a driver's license and some other things, but, you know, start out and begin sifting the facts. So if you do sift through the facts and that turns out to be the case, then what might you do as an elder? We've already touched base on some of the possible answers.
Some of the things that you described in this point five here would be very much so a woman that, or a man that is grown up in a family like that, with a
right.
father in the family, or maybe even the mother of the family, says, we're going to do this, and you've lived with that all your life, and you just don't want to put up with it anymore.
Yeah, patterns are often maintained. So what family X is like, child gets married, marries the right spouse to keep many of those traits in line. So you've seen that with alcoholism, drug abuse, and many other things. So that can be an issue. All right, well, let's set it down there for today. And Lord willing, we will pick up 6 to 13 next week.